The Youth's Instructor, April 12, 1900, A New Commandment. The Youth's Instructor, April 12, 1900, A New Commandment. A new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Christ has specified the measure of the love we are to show for one another. A new commandment I give unto you, he declared, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this practical love, seen by the world, shall all men know that ye are my disciples. When the softening, subduing influence of the Spirit of God rules the hearts of those who are connected with his service, they will honor him by keeping the new commandment. New because Christ said, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. The disciples did not realize Christ's love for fallen man until they saw it expressed on the cross of Calvary, until he rose from the dead and proclaimed over the rent sepulchre of Joseph, I am the resurrection and the life. The lessons that Christ gave in regard to this love are just as new to us, as far as practice is concerned, as they were to the disciples before his death and resurrection. When these lessons are brought into the practical life, when God's people love one another as he requires, there will be an entire change in their experience. If we would be true lights in the world, we must manifest the loving, compassionate spirit of Christ. To love as Christ loved means that we must practice self-control. It means that we must show unselfishness at all times and in all places. It means that we must scatter around us kind words and pleasant looks. These cost the giver nothing, but they leave behind a precious fragrance. Their influence for good cannot be estimated. Not only to the receiver, but to the giver, they are a blessing, for they react upon him. Genuine love is a precious attribute of heavenly origin, which increases in fragrance in proportion as it is dispensed to others. But while we are ever to be kind and tender, no words should be spoken that will lead a wrongdoer to think that his way is not objectionable to God. This sympathy is earthly and deceiving. No license is given in the Word of God for undue manifestation of affection, for sentimental pity. Wrongdoers need counsel and reproof, and they must sometimes be sharply rebuked. God desires his children to remember that in order to glorify him, they must bestow their affection on those who need it most. None with whom we come in contact are to be neglected. No selfishness in look, word, or deed is to be manifested to our fellow beings, whatever their position, whether they be high or low, rich or poor. The love that gives kind words to only a few, while others are treated with coldness and indifference, is not love but selfishness. It will not in any way work for the good of souls or the glory of God. We are not to confine our love to one or two objects. Those who gather the sunshine of Christ's righteousness and refuse to let it shine into the lives of others will soon lose the sweet, bright rays of heavenly grace, selfishly reserved to be lavished upon a few. Those who possess large affections are responsible to God to bestow them, not merely on their friends. This is selfishness which has no place in the life of Christ, but on all who need help. Self should not be allowed to gather to itself a select few, giving nothing to those who need help the most. Our love is not to be sealed up for special ones. Break the bottle, and the fragrance will fill the house. There are many in the world who hide their soul hunger. These would be greatly helped by a tender word or a kind remembrance. Coldness and hard-heartedness are not to be regarded as virtues. Those who cherish the attributes of Christ's character will never be cold, stern, and unapproachable in demeanor, confining their sympathies to a favored few. The souls of those who love Jesus will be surrounded with a pure, fragrant atmosphere. Like the Master, they will go about doing good. Christ's love is deep and full, flowing like an irrepressible stream to all who will accept it. In this heaven-born love, there is no selfishness, and those in whose hearts it is an abiding principle will reveal it not only to those they hold most dear, but to all with whom they come in contact. This love will lead us to make concessions, to perform deeds of kindness, to speak tender, true, encouraging words. It will lead us to bestow sympathy on those whose hearts are hungering for sympathy. The heavenly gifts that God has so richly and freely bestowed on us, we are in turn to bestow upon others. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you.